Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. He doesn't always play nice. And that's what gets you the information you need. This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Maestro. Yo, brothers ain't seen what I've seen in this game, son. Been in this game a long, long, long time. Still striving, though.
All right, so we figured that since we're all going to be draped out by the end of the weekend, not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, we'd kind of do a little some older school Toronto hip hop and rap and garage rap today. Maybe show you that there is a kind of a wider range of music out there than just Drake. It is a Jeff Blair Show. NBA All-Star Weekend is finally here, and it's kind of cool. I mean, I think this is in a lot of ways going to be a celebration for a lot of people of the sport in this city. I mean, Steph Curry's here. We all know that he spent a little bit of time here in school, and we're going to have his coach on with us later on in the show. We'll talk about Steph Curry and the day that Del Curry and his kids showed up and what it meant. What it meant to that coach, what it meant to that program. Kind of an interesting day in a lot of ways today. Purely coincidental. But on this day in 1969, a former Toronto Argos quarterback named John Henry Jackson opened Toronto's first soul food restaurant. I did not know this. The Torontoist had a story on it. And this place became like, I mean, it was, you had to go in there in Toronto. You had to go to this place if you were anybody. This is also the 82nd birthday of Bill Russell, who was a pretty decent basketball player back in the day. So I just thought those were two kind of cool facts to throw out there as we welcome the basketball world to Toronto. Don't worry about the weather. The weather's irrelevant to this event. It is finally NBA All-Star Weekend in Toronto. We have been saying for a long time we can't wait. It's finally here. Paul Jones will join us in a few seconds. We'll get the discussion going, and we'll take your calls on the NBA All-Star Weekend. I'm going to ask the question. You know, we used to have a debate about Toronto being a hockey city, a baseball city. Toronto's always a hockey city. I mean, let me rephrase that. It's a Leaf city. I think we've had this discussion before. But I want to get some of your thoughts, some of your general thoughts on basketball in this city, how important it is to the culture of this city, where it stands in this city. If you want to look at it in a wider perspective, how important it is to the country. It's a celebration of basketball. It's a celebration of Toronto this weekend. We're going to get it started in the Jeff Blair Show.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
Welcome to the Jeff Blair Show. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Stephen Brundle joined me at 10 o'clock. James Lackey, teacher at Brampton Christian School. He'll be along. Guy coached Steph Curry. Curry was just a wee little kid. Michael Trakos, the national hockey writer for Post Media. He'll join us. We'll talk about the latest Steven Stamkos rumors, as reported by our Dean Blundell. And Tim McAuliffe, host of Tim and Sid. Did you see what they did yesterday? They were down at the NBA Center Court. They had Chris Paul on, and they gave him a Canadian trivia challenge that was absolutely the funniest stuff I've seen on TV this year. It was absolutely hilarious. The highlight for me was watching Chris Paul try to make sense of the University of Regina Cougars. Just kind of said something like, man, that doesn't sound right. And I said in Twitter, it doesn't. It's like our version of the Utah Jazz. Just doesn't make sense. Anyhow, Tim McAuliffe will join us. We'll get sense from him about what's going on this weekend. As I said, Brent's going to join us as well. But first, out of the gate, he is our Raptors radio analyst. He's been a part of the Toronto basketball scene. He's been part of the Toronto sports culture for a long time. Paul Jones, our Raptors radio analyst and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, joins us out of the gate. Let's finally hear.
Blair, we need 20 minutes to talk about Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was crushed when I heard about the passing of Maurice White.
Just well,
crushed. I got to tell you, I've never lost it like a little schoolgirl till the day that we were playing. There was a game in L.A., and the Raptors were playing the Lakers, and we were there to do the game. And Alex English said to me, he knew I was like a music guy, and you know, I'm sitting at the back of the plane, headphones on. He says, what are you listening to? I said, Earth, Wind, and Fire. So he says to me, let's go to the other end here. Come with me, Jonesy. And you know Alex English, like Mr. Cool.
Yes. Like, personified.
Mean, yeah, personified. I mean, like, he epitomizes everything about cool. Rome could be burning, and he'd be walking over flames and taking his finger and putting them out. Alex is so cool. He says, Jonesy, come with me. And I walk to the other end of the court with him. He says, I want you to meet a friend of mine. And I said, oh, hey, how you doing? Paul Jones. He says, I'm Philip.
Wow.
And I looked at him, and I looked at Alex English, and I looked back at this guy, and I looked at Alex English, and I said, this man looks like Philip Bailey. He said, Alex, in his very cool voice, said, Jonesy, that is Philip Bailey. I was like, oh, no. It's like I lost it like a little schoolgirl.
I thought I'd play it for you too because I read your tweet from Portland before the game when you gave props to the Portland Trail Blazers game ops for playing Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I just scared the dog in the house. My wife said, "What are you yelling for?" I said, "That was the day I lost it when I met Philip Bailey." No, they had all Jeff. They had all the old school Earth, Wind, and Fire, like a Shining Star, Fantasy. You name it, Saturday night, like you name it, and it was on. I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do pregame. I'm just going to sit my butt down here and bob my head. So, one of the great musical groups of our generation, right, Blair, our vintage?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And finally here. Also.
Nylon, I remember nylon blue shirts pulled down to the belly button and, God, shells and chains.
Bell-bottom pants and when I had hair in an afro.
Yeah, I didn't have an afro, but I did have those real thick, those high-heeled, those shoes, you know, believe it or not, the disco show were awful.
The words of Eddie Murphy was it 48 Hours with Nick Nolte, when Nick Nolte said, you wore that thing? Remember the old thing hanging in the back of the car?
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Murphy turned and he said, I can't say the word. He said, man, them things was in style.
Them things was in style, exactly. This is going to be a celebration of basketball in Toronto and a celebration of basketball in Canada this weekend, I think, as much as a celebration of the NBA. What does this mean? What does this mean to the basketball community? You know, let's leave aside the city for a minute. I know about all the economic ramifications and all that. That's great. But to the basketball community in this city, because Jonesy, for a lot of times, the basketball community, I mean, even those of us who were basketball fans, I don't know if I'd say you felt like second-class citizens, but, you know, you were the other tenant at the ACC.
Yeah.
You know, you were the other tenant at the ACC. You were the guys the columnists went out to cover when the Blue Jays or Leafs weren't playing. Not you personally, but I'm talking about the Raptors and I'm talking about basketball. How important is it for the basketball culture in this city?
Jeff, to piggyback on your analogy, it's your turn to walk across the stage. It's like a graduation, a celebration ceremony. The world is here to see Toronto, and it's because of basketball. And, you know, it's like that moment when you graduate and, you know, and announcing the class of 2016, you know, receiving degrees, Jeff Blair, and you walk across the stage and you shake the chancellor's hand and they give you your degree and you walk off to the other side and there it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here now. Nobody can ever take this away from me. And I think that's what it says for Toronto. Like this, the weekend, it's hopping right now and it's Friday. We still have big events on Saturday, the game on Sunday. The celebrities have descended upon Toronto. And it was funny, last night I did an event with six ex-Raptors. Antonio Davis, Muggsy Bogues, Charles Oakley, Del Curry, JYD, and Tracy McGrady. And they all talked about how when they came to Toronto, it was like, okay, well, you know, these people have to learn the game and what, but they all have fond memories of Toronto and they, mm-hmm. and they leave Toronto with those great memories and don't regret any of the time that they have spent here. And I think that's what it says to all those people that didn't think it was going to go. That didn't think it would survive here. Oh, it's more than survived. And for this weekend, it's the center of the professional basketball world. What, 49 languages, 215-odd countries are going to be here. And I think the NBA for the first time may have turned down credential requests for All-Star Game just mm-hmm. because of the huge crush. So the game is global. I mean, Charles Oakley last night was joking with the folks at the event saying, you know, in his very, Oakley-like fashion, say, y'all had to learn this game, but we was patient with you. It's like school, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade. He said, now y'all graduated now. And he was kind of laughing about it. And he said, look at what it's done. And it's true. Next to the United States, there are more active Canadians on NBA rosters than any other country in the world. And you think about that. I mean, think of the great basketball that's played in Argentina, over in Europe, Spain, all the Serbs and Croats that can shoot the ball. Who's got more players than the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
right? And Canada's next in line.
Will this thing have legs insofar as attracting potential free agents are concerned? I mean, guys come to the city, and I mean, the NBA players come here. They have fun. We all know that. It's a great city to. I mean, it's a great city, but it's a great city to visit. It's a great city to visit if you have a lot of disposable income and you're a single, good-looking dude. I mean, it really is.
That counts us out, eh, boy?
Well, yeah, exactly. At least the single part. but I digress. Or actually, we digress. But can it have an impact? You know, I keep thinking of Paul Masai Ujiri's comment. I want to say it was 2 years ago when he was talking about how important it was. He used the phrase to get a seat at the table when it came to dealing with free agents. In other words, you may not get everybody signed. You may not get anybody signed, but at least they pick up the phone. At least they're willing to sit down and meet with you and discuss possibly coming to Toronto. Can this have some type of an impact on that long term?
Yeah, Jeff, not as much as winning, though.
Okay.
It does. It does. I won't lie about that. It does have an impact because you're being showcased. And don't tell me the network executives from, I think surprised the crap out of our network executives here in TV and radio in Toronto when they saw 6,000-7,000 people outside the building
mm-hmm.
during the playoffs. Don't think that didn't resonate with the likes of ESPN and TNT and all of those folks in the States saying, holy cow, this is crazy. Look at these people. It's like the original Rocky movie where Apollo Creed's talking about, you know, his finances and looking pretty, and his trainer taps him on the shoulder as he sees Rocky pounding the meat on TV saying, hey, man, you better check this out. He's like, yeah, whatever. And that's what it used to be with Toronto. And now people are turning and looking. I think, Jeff, the biggest impact comes from winning
mm-hmm.
and a seat at the table. And I got into it a little bit with people on social media, on Twitter, because they were on the tank train a few years ago. And Toronto is now building something, and they've taken a step. And we're no longer talking about, are they going to get into the playoffs? We're now talking about advancing in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And as people were upset last year, oh, second straight year out of, you know, losing in the first round, being swept. Well, no, these are the hardships now of taking the next step. Anybody can make, you know, you run the marathon, the first 10 miles are no problem. Run the last 16, though. And once you're winning, that's what really starts to resonate. The article by Adrian Wojnarowski about the courtship of LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yes, I remember that.
And that's where I got into with people on Twitter, because they wanted to tank, mm-hmm. and they wanted to tank. And maybe they were trying to tank, but they didn't. And they started winning. LaMarcus Aldridge is not picking up the phone when Masai calls if this is a 22-win team.
Mm-hmm.
There's no chance, Jeff. And I know from talking to people, LaMarcus Aldridge said, you know what? Toronto's got me thinking. He didn't come here. He didn't even have – maybe he only had one meeting. But he was thinking. Why? Because the team was winning.
Well, and I've got to tell you, losing out to San Antonio is not a disgrace.
Yeah, no, it's not. You know? And I just think the way the team has come on, and I mean, last week we were in the States, and I've got, you know, NBA scouts and past stars, legends, telling me, yeah, hey, I think Toronto could be in the conference finals against Cleveland, you know, and then they're talking about, do you make a move? What mm-hmm. move do you make? And you know, this is far from a team that people wanted to be in the lottery a few years ago.
You know, it used to be in the day, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, you'd get all the general managers together, they'd all fly in, and there would be trade talks. I mean, you used to go to all the functions just to get the latest rumor. Then it kind of died. You know, general managers, I mean, most Major League general managers don't go to the All-Star Game. As a matter of fact, at one point, Bud Selig suggested strongly to the owners that they ensure that their general managers go to the All-Star game, because it was kind of having an impact on the news churn you got during that. Will there be a lot of NBA business done at this? Like, will Masai be talking to a lot of general managers, or do a lot of general managers, frankly, in the NBA, you know, I mean, they've got text, they've got, you know, email. I mean, obviously they've got telephone communication. They don't have to see another GM face to face, but is the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, kind of gone the way of the baseball All-Star game as well, where you don't have a bunch of general managers congregating and meeting and, you know, going out for lunch and trying to work on things?
Jeff, I would think that, you know, as you talked about, the other parts of communication probably overruled. There might be face-to-face meetings if we're only a week away from the trade deadline.
Right.
With all this foo-foo around the All-Star game, next Thursday, you stop trading for good.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that if there's serious stuff going on, you know, general managers might meet, but it also might be a time where, as we say, GMs and personnel people and players and, you know, front office people are collecting intel.
Mm-hmm.
They might be asking all-star players. They might be asking the trainer, the equipment manager, the PR guy that's traveled with another guy here about a certain player on their team. Hey, what's this guy like? What's that guy like? That kind of stuff is always going on. And the fact that you've got the All-Star game here and a bunch of people are here. Like I said, you know, Emmanuel Mudiay's come up from Denver. Well, there's some PR people that have come with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a chance to maybe talk to those guys and find out. And you can get the real story. And sometimes you get the real story from the people that these guys work with. How do mm-hmm. they treat the travel secretary? How do they treat the equipment manager? How do they treat, you know, the people that work in the front offices, the secretaries and the office assistants that are responsible for, you know, getting the per diem money into envelopes and things. Those are things that you're looking at, especially if you're looking for character in certain players.
How much of how significant can this weekend be for Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, the two Raptors representatives? I mean, you know, look, they've both been to the All-Star game. Both of them seem to be fairly confident individuals. But I've got to think that to both be in the All-Star game, to have your backcourt in the All-Star game in your own building, that's got to be a real special moment for these guys.
Absolutely, Jeff. I was going to say especially for DeMar, but you know what? I think for both of them, because, you know, Kyle was a guy that was really trying to find himself mm-hmm. in the league. You know, he'd been on a few different teams. He was almost an All-Star in Houston. You know, he came to Toronto and there was this rightly or wrongly, this perception of him being difficult to coach and a tough guy and on a team at times in a locker room and, you know, the contrary. And it's not like that anymore. You know, the guy's a back-to-back all-star. DeMar DeRozan, I look at him and we joke about it all the time. We've got a daughter in university. She was in the fifth or sixth grade when he got here. And you told DeMar that at the beginning of the year. And he said, man, I'm old. Mm-hmm. And he talked about it, though. He's seen a lot of losing. He had a 22-60 season here in Toronto. And now, I mean, they're on pace. They could be headed for 50 wins. So I think for those guys to land in Toronto, to accomplish what they've accomplished in Toronto, with more to come, hopefully, and to have all the stars, the best of the best and the world, come to your gym, and you're the kind of de facto ambassador and host, I think that means a ton. I think it means a ton to them.
Paul, we're going to let you scoot. It's going to be a busy 3 days. It's going to be a great 3 days. I'll see you down at the Air Canada Centre tonight.
Okay,
looking forward to it. Thank you. Paul Jones, our Raptors radio analyst and Sportsnet 590 fan. All right, let me get you the schedule of events. Just run through it very quickly. It is, of course, NBA All-Star Weekend, and we'll have you covered from start to finish on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Sportsnet, and Sportsnet.ca. Tim and Sid will be live from NBA Center Court tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. Still laughing at Chris Paul's appearance on Tim and Sid. Sportsnet Tonight with Roger Lajoie will be live from NBA Center Court, 7 to 10 p.m. on Sportsnet 590. The NBA All-Star Game will be tonight at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 1. Guest coaches include Drake, Steve Nash, Jose Bautista, and Kevin Hart. Celebrity players include Wynn Butler, Milos Raonic, Tracy McGrady, Jason Sudeikis, Chauncey Billups, Muggsy Bogues, and many, many more. The Air Canada Centre will be the site of the BBVA Compass NBA Rising Stars Challenge. That will be shown at 9 p.m. on Sportsnet 1. Three Canadians in that event, Andrew Wiggins, Dwight Powell, and Trey Lyles. That will be followed on Sportsnet 1 by TNT's Inside the NBA. Saturday, Ben Ennis will be broadcasting live from NBA Center Court from 10 to 1 p.m., followed by Sportsnet Today with Roger Lajoie from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Sportsnet Central with Martine Guyard will be broadcasting live from NBA Center Court at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. The State Farm NBA All-Star Saturday night coverage will begin at 7 p.m. again on Sportsnet Ontario. The Taco Bell Skills Challenge, the Foot Locker three-point contest, Steph Curry, Kyle Lowry, James Harden, Klay Thompson, Chris Middleton, J.J. Redick, Chris Bosh, and Devin Booker in that event. And then the Verizon Slam Dunk Competition, defending champ Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, Will Barton, and the guy I'm picking to win it, Andre Drummond. Sunday, All-Star Sunday, Sportsnet Today with Ben Ennis will be live from NBA Center Court from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., followed by Sportsnet Today with Roger and Dan Riccio from 2 to 7 of Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And then the 65th NBA All-Star Game coverage will start at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 1, and they're getting the band back together. Radio commentary will be provided by Eric Smith, Paul Jones, and Jack Armstrong. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Want to talk about the importance of the All-Star Game for Toronto? Is Toronto a basketball city? Give me the evidence that Toronto is a basketball city. We'll take your calls when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Anybody remember the name of this game show? Track was lifted from? Welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show. Stephen Brunel will join us in a few minutes. It is NBA All-Star Weekend. Tim McAuliffe, host of Tim and Sid, He will join us at 10:15. Tim and Sid will be broadcasting today live from NBA Center Court. We'll talk about the home run they hit yesterday with Chris Paul. Chris Paul's Canadian trivia. What a great sport he was, too, by the way. James Lackey, a teacher at Brampton Christian School, got to school one day, found out that Del Curry was registering his kids. Now, one of them, a guy named Steph, turned out to be a pretty good basketball player, so we'll talk to James Lackey about Steph Curry, who will be competing. He also had Seth Curry, and he'll be competing in the NBA, the three-point contest on Saturday. Steph Curry will. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Let's go to the phone lines. I asked the question about Toronto being a basketball city. You know, because, I mean, you always have this debate. Hockey city, baseball city, Leaf city. Well, you know what? Mike in Toronto. Mike in Toronto has, he's changed the question up for me. I love his take on this, and I'm going to ask the question as a result of what Mike in Toronto talks about. I'll ask you, is this a basketball city, or are we a bandwagon city? Mike in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. See, I'm willing to lift ideas from people.
Perfect. You know, I originally said bandwagon, but I want to say flavor of the day city.
Okay, flavor of the day, that's fine. Same thing.
With the exception of the Leafs, you know, in the offseason, we'll talk Leafs. It'll dominate, you know, sports talk radio.
Yep.
But I want to use the comparison to, I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, and it's very similar with the Lakers. It's a Lakers city, and I'll be honest with you, the Lakers have a practice facility in El Segundo, just south of Los Angeles. And in the off season, if they change the carpet in the lobby, like, they'll talk about that on the radio for 6 hours that day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a Lakers city, and this is a Leafs city. This is not a basketball city. And if Toronto was 20-62 last year, trust me, we wouldn't be talking about them the way we are. It's a flavor of the day, just as the Blue Jays were last year, and prior to that, 20 years in a row. You know, we weren't filling that place. It's a flavor of the day. We're desperate for a winner, unfortunately. And I think that's what it is. And, you know, when I look at the Lakers, that's a basketball city. And believe it or not, if you're in a bar right now or you're in a workplace right now in Los Angeles, it's still cooler to say I got Laker tickets, even though they're horrible this year, than it is to say I got Clippers or Kings tickets, believe mm-hmm. it or not.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Look, it's an interesting point. And you know what? I'm not entirely certain that being a bandwagon city is necessarily a bad thing. I don't think it has to be a pejorative. But it's a valid point. Would people feel the way they feel about the Raptors if they were still stuck, you know, in Brian Colangelo limbo land? We've talked at length about the cultural shifts in this city, the demographic shifts in this city. You know, you go to a Raptors game, the crowd at a Raptors game is vastly different than the crowd at a Leafs game. It's much more multicultural. It's much younger. It's much hipper. It's a different vibe. It's the vibe that I associate more and more with Toronto. I mean, I gotta be honest. I lived in Montreal, and Montreal, I think, is the hippest city in Canada. I think we could say that. I came to Toronto, and I used to joke about Toronto as, you know, Presbyterians gone wild, right? And I can remember that, to me, my opinion of Toronto was summed up at that Blue Jays game, that Blue Jays opener. Remember when that man and woman ran in the field streaking, but the woman had her bra still on? Like, that's Toronto. You would streak, but leave your bra on. You would streak, but still have your bra on, right? So I used to think of that. I used to think that was Toronto. Toronto, I had no idea Toronto was the multicultural city that it was, that it was the young city that it was. I mean, this is much, 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 much more than Bay Street. Way more than Bay Street. And basketball taps into the multicultural community more than any other sport for a variety of reasons, because it's got such a strong, it's left and has such a strong imprint on culture. You know, more than hockey, more than baseball. I'm talking about pop culture. Basketball has much more of an imprint on it. Bill in Caledon, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good, man.
I would take a little different perspective in that from a, you know, grassroots level and what is going on every weekend in gymnasiums around the GTA, including Caledon, Toronto is definitely a basketball city. I mean, in Caledon, we've got 400 or 500 kids playing rep and house league basketball, and that's repeating itself everywhere. And, you know, the results you're seeing is all of these kids from Southern Ontario getting, you know, Division I scholarships and, you know, moving up into the pros. And if it wasn't a basketball city, you wouldn't have, you know, all these middle-aged guys dedicating tons of time, you know, to developing these kids so that they get these opportunities. Well, your last caller may have commented on the, you know, on the, you know, the popularity of the Raptors and the bandwagon thing. You know, up and down the street, it's a huge basketball city.
Yeah, it's, you know, I live in Hamilton, and Hamilton's a huge basketball city. And
yeah, I mean, you've had great club teams there for
absolutely
forever. I mean, my girls have played against them forever.
Yeah, and St. Mary's, I mean, it's a powerhouse. And you know, I grew up in Manitoba, and the University of Manitoba, the University of Winnipeg, Brandon University, basketball powerhouses for a long time. I mean, the University of Manitoba had a guard back in the 70s, Martin Riley, who ended up coaching the University of Manitoba, who ended up going on to playing for the Canadian national team. I mean, I can remember one of the first assignments I had for the Winnipeg Free Press was when Lou Carnesecca, the St. John's coach, came to town for a coach's clinic. And he had seen Martin Riley playing for Team Canada because Louis had been working for USA Basketball. And I remember him at this banquet talking about how if Martin Riley had grown up in Queens instead of Winnipeg, he would have been playing Division I college basketball. And I remember everybody kind of looked at each other and kind of, wow. There's a lot of good basketball played, and there is a lot of good basketball played out in the prairies, throughout the country. Quebec. In a lot of ways, Toronto has caught up and passed the rest of the country. For the longest time, Montreal was the place that was turning out basketball players. And now Toronto was caught up and passed them. And yeah, I agree with you. But I think we have to separate it. There's two levels, right? There's two ways to look at this. There is the overwhelming attention the Raptors get when they're winning. And Mike was right. This is a city that's just so thirsty for a winner. There's the attention they get and the attention they got when they surprised us and went to the playoffs a couple of years ago. And then there's the grassroots stuff that's just kind of been there and is growing steadily. Now, it is the growth sport in Canada. There's no doubt about it. 20 years from now, we're going to look totally different as a country than we look right now. And I guarantee you our sports culture is going to be totally different. The key with basketball is they're going to have to figure out a way to not price out middle-class families and families who are living under the middle-class level. That's going to be the key. Hockey hasn't done that. Hockey's losing a whole generation of people because they just, you can't be working class and have your kid playing hockey. You can be working class still and have your kid playing basketball. I mean, every parent has to make sacrifices for their kid to advance. But as long as basketball doesn't lose its mind when it comes to the cost of competing the way hockey has, look out in 20 years. Joe in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff. Before I begin my thoughts, I just want to let you know, I went to the same school as Steph Curry when he was here. I was a few years older than him, but this was an eighth grader when he was playing on high school teams when he was 14 and they were 16 and, you know, puberty and everything. They're a lot bigger than him. Mm-hmm. He was by far the best kid on the court. Watching him shoot at a young age, it was unreal. But I still think Toronto it's a hockey town and there's a lot of hockey heads still. And I'll give you a story of mine. A few years ago before the Super Bowl, Miami was coming to play Toronto and LeBron James was at the Real Sports Bar. And there was a big hoopla around him. And I went to the washroom, and while washing my hands, a guy comes up to me and goes, "Hey, who's that guy out there?" And I'm like, "That's LeBron James." And he goes, "What, is he a Toronto Raptor or something?" Hmm. There's still a big element of the city that all they do in stick to is hockey. And I know at the grassroots level it's getting bigger, but when it comes to the professional level, the ratings still aren't there. And it seems to be a community that, like, it's basketball or nothing else. Like, I don't know if you get the same thoughts about it, but you're either a basketball fan or you might not be.
You know, I will say this. I think basketball fans feel the same way baseball fans felt for a long time. The difference is that basketball fans haven't had the back-to-back World Series championships that baseball fans have. But I think everybody who isn't a diehard Leafs fan in this city at some point feels as if they've just been swamped. You know, the old running joke about you turn on Toronto Sports Radio any day of the year and the debate is about who's playing the fourth line for the Leafs, right? Where the Leafs drive traffic, the Leafs drive TV ratings, that is a fact. But I don't know if the sport of hockey at the development level is as healthy as the sport of basketball. You know, soccer long ago surpassed hockey in terms of involvement. But for a variety of reasons, the organization of soccer in Canada is just such a freaking mess that, as I've said often, there is no sport in the country that has squandered as much human and financial capital as soccer has. I mean, we're still waiting for our first generational player. The closest we've come is a guy who played for England. I think this is a little different with basketball. And I think we're starting to see it in this city. You look at the Ryerson Rams program. This to me in some ways is kind of an indication of where the sport is going. You know, it's one thing to have one guy or two guys every couple of years come out and be star players in Division I basketball. It's another thing to kind of have to look for growth in other areas. And to me, the other areas are like the CIS programs. And I'm not denigrating them, but, you know, the sign of a healthy basketball environment to me is how your colleges, your local colleges are doing, how the local community colleges are doing, how the local high schools are doing, how registration is doing. You know, the top end of it, the Andrew Wiggins, the guys who go on to have successful NBA careers, the guys who go on to Division I college, Jamal Murray's, all those guys. That's kind of the top of it, right? Those are the extreme fruits that you get from, you know, from the grassroots. But I think if you really want to judge how healthy a sport is, you look at the CIS level, you look at how many kids are playing in schoolyards, you look at how many kids are playing in gyms. To me, that's kind of the sign of how healthy it is. Mike in Burlington, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good, good.
Yeah, without trying to sound repetitive with what you've said and some of your previous callers, I'm going to tie in a bunch of things. Yes, if you look at what's hip, especially amongst the younger community with the hip-hop rap music, I guess that ties in the culture of it. Basketball itself, globally, I think has grown in the last 15 or 20 years itself, because, you know, remember watching old Olympics, like I'm talking late 70s, even through the 80s, it was always the same thing, USA, Soviet Union, and what was then, back then, the former Yugoslavia. Now we've seen, you know, Germany, Spain, France, and other countries, even in South America, like Argentina, produce NBA quality players, and they are obviously involved in these tournaments, winning medals and contending. In Toronto, because of the heavy immigration, what you have from Eastern Europe, a lot of the old Slavic countries, parts of the Middle East, South America, you have a more of a diverse thing where I think, yeah, I agree with your first caller. It is the flavor of the day, but we've seen the basketball graph kind of go up and down, you know, when they got the franchise with Damon Stoudemire, then of course, you know, with Vince Carter, then there was another dip, and now what they have currently, what the Raptors are building on. But I also agree with what you said. It's about when kids get into a sport, whether it be soccer or basketball, which are the higher enrollment sports now than they were let's say 20, 30 years ago, where everyone was just focused on hockey, 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 which will always have a spot in the Canadian fabric. However, I also agree with what Bob McCowan said. In terms of, like, hockey, yeah, the last 10-plus years of the Leafs, I'm sure they've attracted some of their younger fans just because of the local viewing, but then you get that other group of fans that have become fans of other teams, or a lot of them just saying, you know what, this Raptor team's pretty good because, again, it's that hip-hop rap culture. It's more trendier, like you said, for the youth. I've been to both in terms of NHL games and Raptor games. And, yeah, if you're a younger person in your 20s, teens, it is more fun to be at a Raptor game. Again, the music, the culture, the game, the fast pace, and it's that showmanship. And, on a marketing aspect, I would say right now the Jays, and especially the Raptors, are gaining more fan support than, let's say, the Argos or even the Leafs, for that matter, just where they are, what's expected, and, again, the flavor of the day. It all ties in with marketing and exposure.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. It's also... It's also the fact that, as I said earlier, there's, you know, basketball has more of a cultural imprint for a lot of young people. You know, in terms of fashion, in terms of music, you know, Drake, whatever you may think of Drake's music, I mean, Drake has had a profound impact on how kids view this city and how kids view the Raptors. And... you know, the type of PR, the type of marketing that really works with kids is kind of the unplanned stuff, right? It's the surprise connection between music and sports. I mean, you can sit down and drop a carefully laid out marketing plan, and it can work. It can be effective. But it's not the same as having guy in a radio station, guy in an FM station, guy on Virgin, whatever station it is, you know, drop a comment about, hey, you know, DeMar DeRozan went off last night, man. You know, or Kyle Lowry. Did you read what Kyle Lowry wrote in the Players Tribune? You know, that's the type of almost ancillary marketing that really helps a sport lay down roots. And that's what basketball's getting in droves. It's part of the, it becomes a comparison for a lot of things. It becomes a comparable for a lot of things. And it starts becoming part of the everyday conversation, not just in terms of sports, but in terms of culture, as I said, in terms of music, in terms of fashion, whatever. You walk down the street, you see somebody wearing a Raptors jersey. I mean, all this stuff. It's not really guerrilla marketing, but it's sort of the ancillary marketing, the stuff beyond the carefully planned marketing arrangements. Basketball's getting that in droves in the city. It's getting it in this country, too. And in a lot of ways, the Blue Jays are getting it. You can't go anywhere in this country without seeing a Blue Jays hat. You can't go to a Major League Baseball game. You look at the Blue Jays games on the road. You know, there's a reason that Jays fans are showing on TV when the Jays are on the road, because there's so freaking many of them. That is the... to me, that's the important marketing. Stephen Brunt's going to join me. We'll continue our discussion. Toronto, basketball city or bandwagon city? It's a Jeff Blair Show, the Sportsnet 590, The Fan.